Stage Dramas present 1939 Spirit Accident. This week's front page drama, 1939 Spirit Accident, is a dramatization of some of the unusual accidents that have befallen Americans during the year 1939. Continuing its custom of printing the most unusual accidents of the past year, the American Weekly presents in next Sunday's issue a very interesting collection of accidents as reported by the National Safety Council and other authentic sources. This is but one of the many very interesting and entertaining features to be found in next Sunday's American Weekly, the nation's reading habit. The magazine with the greatest circulation in the world that comes to you every week with your Hearst Sunday newspaper. Lightning, as usual, was responsible for a number of odd accidents. In southern Texas, a lightning bolt struck the house of a man, hurled him up from the bed where he was sleeping, burned through the bedclothes and mattress, melted the bed spring, burned a hole through the floor, split the top of an oak table in the room below. But with all this fury unleashed, the man remained uninjured. He was luckier than the twin sisters in an adjoining southwestern state. They were married and only lived two blocks away from each other. But because of threatening weather, one decided to use the telephone instead of paying her sister a personal call.
Hello?
Hello, Mary. This is Alice. I just called up to say I wouldn't be over. The weather looks too bad. It's clouding up something awful. There's not a breath of air anywhere. We're going to have a storm any minute now.
It looks like it. I just finished closing all the windows. It looks mighty bad, all right.
Well, if the weather clears up, I'll drop around after supper.
Did you hear that, Alice? It started a thunder and lightning. And is the wind blowing up?
Yes, I saw the lightning just now. Well, a good storm's what we need. It'll clear the air and cool things off a bit.
Oh, look, Alice. Why don't you and Bob come over for supper tonight? I'll fix some cold cuts and a nice green salad, and we can play bridge afterwards.
All right, Mary, we'll do that.
Oh.
I'll stop on my way over and get some ice cream for dessert.
Hey, Jim, you too, Harry. Yeah, get your emergency crews out and go to these addresses. Jim, you go to 29 Calhoun Street, and Harry, you rush over to 31 Houston Avenue.
What's up, boss?
We'll take your first aid equipment. The chief operator reports that two women were talking on the line, and although both numbers show a busy signal, there's been no one using the line for over an hour. Get your stuff together and hurry.
Okay, exactly on my way. Hey, Charlie!
Yes, Scott!
Come on in, boys. Thank goodness that back door was unlocked.
Yeah.
There's a receiver dangling by the wall. A chair and vase knocked down. Yeah. There's the victim.
Oh,
there's lying over there in the corner. Bring in the kid.
Hurry it up there now, will you?
Yeah, I see, Jim. Did we call the doctor?
No, hold on. I don't see any burns. Nasty bump on the back of her head. Probably stunned.
Oh, my head. What happened? Where am I?
Take it easy, ma'am. You're going to be all right.
Just take it easy there.
Just easy, boys. That's it. She's going to be all right. Got a pretty bad bump on her head. Outside of that, I think she's okay.
Mm. What's the matter? What happened to her? How'd that get here?
You'll be okay, ma'am. Just sit down. Be quiet.
I was talking to my sister on the phone. There's a big clap of thunder, and that's all I remember. My sister. What happened to her?
Easy now, ma'am. Easy. We got an emergency squad over to her house, too. We'll call up and find out what happened.
When the two emergency squads pieced the twin sisters' stories together and compared their notes, they found that while the two had been talking on the telephone, a lightning bolt had struck the line, knocking them both clear across the room into corners. Outside of a bad bump on their heads and a rather severe shock, both of them miraculously escaped serious injury. Perhaps one of the most unusual and tragic accidents of the year was reported from a town on the eastern seaboard. One evening last summer, a 7-year-old boy failed to show up for supper, and...
It's almost 8 o'clock, John. I'm terribly worried. Oh, he's never stayed out this late before. You've got to do something, John.
Well, dear, I've combed the neighborhood, called on all the children he plays with, phoned the police, and there's not a trace of him.
Well, we've got to do something. This is Prince. He's just driving me crazy.
All right, dear. I'll get some of the men together and form a searching party. He may have stayed off in the woods and got lost somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
The children said they were all playing hide-and-seek up to 5:30.
Mm-hmm.
He was playing with them, but that's the last I remember seeing.
Oh, get Mr. Jenkins. The Thompsons,
yes,
and all the others said they'd help.
Yes.
He must have run off into the woods and become frightened. Then in the confusion, lost himself.
All right, dear, all right. You stay here and try not to worry too much. We'll find him, all right. It won't take us long.
Three o'clock. Oh, Father, what do you think has happened to them?
Now, Jenny, try to have faith. Oh. There's a whole lot of ground to cover. Miss Moore, 7-year-old boy, is pretty hard to find in those woods.
Yes.
Probably got tired, sat down, fell asleep. In that case, it'll be pretty hard to spot him. He'll have to go slow and cover the ground very thoroughly. And all that takes lots of time.
But, Father, they've been gone nearly 8 hours.
Yeah.
Surely they should have found him by now.
Now, look, Jenny, you're getting yourself all nervous and upset. Now, do as I tell you. Lie down and rest. Try to get a little sleep, dear. You're all worn out. Nothing can happen to the boy. If he stayed into the woods and fallen asleep, he'd be all right. The weather's warm. There's nothing in the woods to harm him.
Oh.
Now lie down like a good girl and get your rest.
All right, Father. I'll lie down, but I can't sleep or rest without knowing what's happened to my boy.
Be quiet, John. Jenny's lying down there. Let's hear the news.
Oh, there is no news, Father. We've touched every foot of ground through the woods.
Oh, my.
We've had over 200 men combing the country with a fine-tooth comb. State police, county officers, bloodhounds, everyone. We've searched all night every inch of ground. This morning they dragged the lake. Not a sign of him anywhere.
It's awful, John. What could have happened? Do you suppose the boy was kidnapped?
Who would kidnap a boy belonging to poor people like us?
Yes. Do you suppose you ought to tell Jenny now?
Well,
she's been in a terrible state all night.
Please, you've got to tell her sometime. I'll go up and try to break it to her as best as possible.
Very well, John. You go up and comfort her, and I'll fix up some breakfast for you.
Oh, thanks.
I made some coffee, but the milkman hasn't come yet.
Oh, there's some canned milk downstairs in the cellar. Jenny always keeps a can or two in reserve. You'll find it in that big refrigerator. We keep that on to make spare ice in the hot weather.
All right, John. You go on up to Jenny. I'll fix some coffee and things.
I'll go down and get that canned milk.
John! Jenny! Come quick! Come quick!
Father, where is it?
John! God, it's terrible.
What's awful? I found him,
boy.
No.
Little Junior, I found him.
Speak to me, Father. Where? What is it? What happened?
I went down in the old refrigerator cellar and I opened the door and there he was curled up inside, cold and dead.
No.
Yes, the boy was found, and subsequent investigation established the fact that during the game of hide and seek the previous afternoon, the little 7-year-old boy picked the huge old electric refrigerator as a good place to hide, a place his little friends wouldn't think of looking for him. When he closed the door after climbing in the big, almost empty refrigerator, the outside spring lock snapped shut and imprisoned him. He had suffocated and froze to death. There is a touch of real humor connected with this next story of an automobile accident that was revealed in the traffic court of a large New England city.
Excuse me.
William Bronson, step forward, please. All right, step up in the dock there.
What's the charge?
Here, Your Honor. Reckless driving. Officer Ryan, chief witness. Paul Spooner, complaining witness.
Call Officer Ryan.
Traffic patrolman, Patrick Ryan, take a stand, please.
Yes. Proceed with the testimony, officer.
Yes, Your Honor. It was about 8:45 last Tuesday evening. I was directing traffic at Maybeat at Market and State Street. The lights changed, and I signaled the east-west traffic to stop and the north-south traffic to go ahead. When all of a sudden, I heard a crash. Mr. Spooner there had stopped on my signal, all right, but the fella in back of him,
the defendant... William Bronson.
That's him, Your Honor. He didn't stop, but run smack dab right into Mr. Spooner's car, locking the bumpers and smashing the fenders and tying up traffic something awful. I went over and I asked this fella here...
There's the defendant, William Bronson.
Yes, that's him, Your Honor. I says to him, why didn't you stop when you see the lights change? He says he couldn't see them. He had his eyes shut. When I asked him what was his idea of driving in heavy traffic with his eyes closed, He gave me some cock and bull story about listening to his radio.
Driving a car with his eyes shut, listening to the radio.
That's what he says, Your Honor. So I give him a ticket to come up and hear you broadcast.
Order, please. Order in the court, please. Order. Very good, Officer Ryan. You may step down, please. Now then, Mr. Bronson, what have you to say to the officer's testimony?
I presume I'm guilty, Your Honor.
You presume you're guilty?
Yes, sir.
Don't you know?
Yes, I suppose so, Your Honor.
You presume, you suppose. What is this? Let me hear your side of the story, please.
Well, Your Honor, it's just as the officer said, I was driving along west on Market Street, approaching the intersection. I had the radio on in my car, and I was listening to the program Information, Please. I heard Cliff and Fadiman, the master of ceremonies, ask the experts to shut their eyes and tell the color of their ties. Well, I was playing the game with them, so I shut my eyes, and that's when I collided with Mr. Spooner's car.
And did the experts know the answer?
Yes, Your Honor, so the sponsors paid nothing.
And you knew the answer?
Yes, Your Honor.
Good. But you pay $17.62. We'll skip the Encyclopedia Britannica.
There are many more very amazing and some amusing accidents in the feature article, 1939's Queerest Accidents, which appears in next Sunday's American Weekly. If you have enjoyed the dramatizations of the strange accidents we have presented, we are sure you will want to read the many other thrilling and amazing stories to be found in the feature article, 1939's Queerest Accidents. You will also find many other entertaining and educational articles, stories, and feature fiction. Don't miss the new serial story, Laughing Girl, which began in last Sunday's American Weekly. There is a complete resume of the opening chapters in this Sunday's issue, so there is still plenty of time to begin Laughing Girl, a gripping novel of action, romance, and mystery in the American Weekly, the magazine with the greatest circulation in the world, which comes to you with your Hearst Sunday newspaper.